Yeah, I just wanted to thank everybody for a great first week on the Pistols Firing blog. I've really enjoyed reading everybody's comments and thoughts and opinions, not only on the blog, but on Oklahoma State football and basketball in general. And it's been good just to hear from everybody. I haven't really been doing much different in terms of writing and just all the things that I do on the blog, but it's been nice to have some readers and really just hear from you guys. This podcast is a new feature that we're going to have on the blog. We call it the Pistol Cast, and we're going to try to have it once a week with just different contributors, as well as hopefully some players and coaches a little bit down the road. You can always find the Pistol Cast on the blog. You'll always be able to play it on there, and hopefully by the time you hear this, it'll also be up on iTunes, and once I get that link, I will pass it on. Thanks, guys. Welcome to episode one of the Pistol Cast, the Pistols Firing blog podcast that we will hopefully be having on a weekly basis. Our first guest today is Q, who is also a contributing author to the blog. Thanks for being on the show, Q.
Thanks, Pistols guy. It's good to be here. I'm looking forward to getting it going.
Well, let's do it. You went to the game last night, the Texas game. What was it like inside the arena?
I did. It was a little less emotional than I expected it to be.
That's kind of
those of you that read my article about Nate this week, I was kind of expecting it to be a little bit more emotional. Which, the more I talked to my wife about it, I guess at some point you kind of have to go away from the making it sad and has to be more of a celebration and a more of a lighthearted remembrance, and, which is kind of what it felt like, but it was just kind of, I don't know, the game, it just never really peaked or never really became what I thought it would.
Yeah. It felt like it never really, I don't know. It just felt like it never materialized. Like, it was kind of like there was more to the story, but we never got to it or something.
Right. In the first four or five possessions back and forth, you're going, oh, we're going to play with these guys. And if we just keep it close and hang in there, this is going to be the kind of game we win. I mean, the guy I was sitting next to, he said, are we going to win? And I said, yeah, this is just one of those games I feel like the last few years we win. Even though the team is better than us and has more talent, we somehow find a way. And the first 5 minutes kind of felt that way, and it stayed close. And really, I think the key, I look at three shots as a key, and they were all Jordan Hamilton three-pointers.
Yeah.
The one he hit at the end of the half, put it to 7. First possession, he comes out and hits another one and puts it to 10. And then 3 or 4 or 5 minutes later, I think we hit a couple shots in a row to cut it to, like, maybe 6 or something like that. And then he hit another one that basically ended the run, and then we never made another run.
Well, I think the last one you're talking about, was it the one where he missed it and then –
they got a rebound and back out to him, I think.
Yeah, and right as he caught it, I was like, that's going in. Like, I just knew that one was going in.
And he's a really weird shooter. I haven't watched him a ton, but he doesn't jump very much on his jump shot. But he's real fluid, and he's got a really weird body too. At least from the very top row of Gallagher Iba where we were sitting, but he's just kind of real. Skinny and awkward, but he can stroke, man. He's pretty clutch. I think Texas is legit. I think this is the best team Rick Barnes has had there. I really think that he's always been able to recruit. I mean, he keeps losing guys to the NBA and he keeps getting great talent, but I don't think he's ever kind of put it together and they've, really bought in as a team. But I think this year, I've got a feeling that they've maybe got what it takes to make a deep run.
Yeah, it's weird though, because last year they were, I was reading about this week, they were number one, which I don't even remember. And then
I don't either.
Well, I think they were like undefeated. Then they lost 10 of their last 17. And I mean,
I do remember that early. They were like, everybody was talking about them. Cause remember they still had Damian James and
yeah.
And I guess they did go to a Final Four with TJ Ford with Rick Barnes, but I feel like, I know you've always been mad because he screwed up Durant's lone year there. How do you mess up Durant?
Yeah, I can't get over not escaping the first round with Durant and DJ Augustine. I mean, you could throw Augustine, Durant, me, you, and one of our wives out there, and I feel like we could compete for the Big 12 title.
Oh, yeah. There's no question. The thing that I thought was cool last night, one of the things I thought was cool is that, I mean, everybody's talked about it, but the fact that Texas came out and they were wearing the Remember the 10 shirts also, that's really classy. And then I read something that they brought 10 bouquet of flowers, I think, or 10 roses or something to put at the memorial. And you know, even more classy, I thought, after the half, all however many guys are on their roster, 12 or 15 or whatever, all of them came back out with the shirts on again. So it's like even those guys who, you know, who played in the first half, who no longer had the shirt on, when they went in at half, they put the shirt back on to come out at halftime, which I think that says a lot of about Rick Barnes and the program that he runs. And at least I hope it does. But I've always kind of had a thing for Rick Barnes, so I know that you don't quite feel that way. But
you've had a thing for, like, you, like you're crushing on him or what?
I mean, when it comes to college basketball coaches, I could man crush on Rick Barnes a little bit. I don't know why. I've always kind of – he's got that thing on his ear where one of his ears is kind of like messed up a little bit. You know what I'm talking about? But just – I don't know. I just like him. I feel like he's kind of classy. You know the ear thing I'm talking about though, right?
No, I don't – I mean, I don't study him like you do, I guess.
Well, you're going to need to pull up a picture of Rick Barnes and all of you guys listening to the Pistol Cast right now. I'm going to need you to get on Google and Google image Rick Barnes, and you'll see what I'm talking about. I can't remember which year it is, but I think he lost a little bit of his ear.
You are killing me. yeah, I've never been. I mean. I don't know.
It's his left ear, by the way. It's his left ear.
Oh, okay. Thanks for clearing that up. I've never been a big Barnes guy, but I mean, you're right. In the last, I mean, I feel like everything he does, and not just the Remember the 10 stuff, but just the way he handles his players, the way he runs his program is pretty, I mean, obviously I'm comparing him to people like Scott Drew and Jeff Capel. So, I mean, it's not really that difficult,
right. Right.
I mean, I feel like he does a pretty good job. So I'm slowly but surely being won over to the Rick Barnes side.
Okay, I appreciate it.
But I mean, as far as yesterday goes, OSU's just. It sucks to say it, but we're just not good. I mean, we didn't really play that bad, but we're just not on Texas's level.
No, and you know it's tough to expect us to be on Texas's level, given the fact that Rick Barnes has been there as long as he has. They haven't had a coaching change as recently as we have, and they're Texas. I mean, it's the biggest state in the union, and there's a lot of things that they have that we don't, but so I think from a talent standpoint, it's hard to get caught up in that, but I just think that it shined a light on a lot of our deficiencies. Our lack of point guard play is just
it's
the last two
us.
Games. You just see it. Yeah. I mean, we expect Keaton to go out there and run the point, and he can't run the point. I mean, that's not what he needs to do for us to win. He needs to get open without the ball, and he needs to hit shots. And you know, if he's having to distribute the ball, it's not going to happen. And that's not his fault.
Well, you look at Keaton and it's like, we don't want to ask him to run the point, but when you got Gully out and Penn just I don't know what he's doing.
Struggling, yeah.
I mean, it's kind of like default to Keaton because
– Right.
I don't know. I wrote in my recap from last night, and I'll probably write about it next week, but just, I mean, why not throw Markell in there? I mean, he's probably not a true point guard, but he handles it pretty well. He's – a lot longer and bigger and stronger than Keaton is. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know how well he would protect the ball, but I feel, what do we have to lose at this point? I don't know.
Right, right. I mean, I think another thing that it just showed is that from a scoring standpoint, we miss James and Obi dearly. I mean, Marshall, I feel like Marshall Moses is a warrior, man. I feel like he plays his heart out every game, and I feel like he's playing a position that he's not built for, and he's playing it pretty well. And outside of him, you know, JPO has been pretty awesome the last several weeks, but it's like he's still relatively new. I mean, this is his first year in D1, and we don't have a swing man that can go get us points when we need him. And if you don't have that, it's going to be hard to be successful, you know? And
yeah. Well,
and
I mean,
we don't have any shooters. If aside from Keaton, no one can stand out there and hit a 3-point shot.
No.
You're not going to win in college basketball if you've got one guy that can hit a three.
No. I have, like, whenever – I think I wrote about this after the Baylor game, but every time – I love JPO, but every time he takes a three, I'm just like, I don't know if that's going in. And, I mean, the same thing with the other guys. I mean,
right.
Penn can't – I mean, he's all right, I guess, but I don't really have a lot of confidence in Markel from beyond the arc.
Markel's,
I mean,
not a set shooter, yeah.
But, I mean, you were talking earlier about how – the last couple of years, we've kind of won one or two games that it's like, what are we doing winning this game? But
right.
I think the X factor there was we had James. And if the offense wasn't working, we just go to James. And even if
right.
he's getting double teamed, he scores and he keeps you in games.
Right.
And we don't have – I mean, we don't have a James
well,
this year, obviously.
Yeah, and two years ago we had Byron, which a lot of people didn't like Byron, but – you know, the bottom line was that Byron could create some points because, you know, he would do a lot of dumb things, but he'd find a way to get to the foul line when you needed it, or he would find a way to, you know, get a layup when you needed it. I mean, he found ways to help us score. So he kind of played that role along with James 2 years ago, and then James was kind of doing it himself last year. So,
well, and the thing, you won't find a bigger Byron detractor than myself, but – The thing that he did so well was he got into the lane and it spread everything out so that you could kick it to Keaton and he didn't have Dogus Balbe hanging all over him, or you could
right.
dump it to Marshall or hit James cutting. I mean, Penn and – I mean, our point guards this year just can't – they just don't do that.
Now, you do have to say – not that we want to go 2 years back, but you do have to say that Byron – got tremendously better his senior year. That had with Ford in Ford's first year,
the
lone year that Byron got to play for him. If Byron would have played for Ford for 4 years, he would have been a much better player. Do you agree?
No.
You don't agree?
Was he a 5-star? He was a 5-star.
I think, yeah.
I'm pretty sure he was.
He was a McDonald's All-American, I think.
Yeah, he was a 5-star. So he comes in and he plays like a 1-star. I mean, he plays like freaking Hatch his freshman year. Maybe not Hatch, but you get what I'm saying.
Right.
And then he moves up to a 2-star. I mean, what my point is, it's all relative. Like, you're saying, well, yeah, he was better his senior year. Well, I mean, yeah, he couldn't have been any worse than he was his first couple years. Are you saying that because of Ford being there?
I'm saying when he had I feel like he wasn't coached. I feel like he was allowed to be undisciplined. He was allowed to do dumb things. He was allowed to do pretty much whatever he wanted those first couple years. And then his senior year, if you remember some of those games, there'd be games where if he made a couple mistakes, Ford would pull him and rein him in. And, you know, had he gotten that his first couple years, I think it would have made him a much better player. So that by the time he was a junior and senior, he would have been even better than he was, you know, in reality, his senior year.
Yeah.
I think that he kind of got away with whatever he wanted, and it's kind of like the, you know, the old story where the kid gets whatever he wants, and so he's a brat, basically.
The old story where the kid...
I don't know why. I wanted to go somewhere really cool with that, and I had nowhere to go with it.
Is that a proverb? Is that a Chinese proverb or something?
I was trying to come up with it on the fly, and I was like, man, this is the first podcast, the first pistol cast. I want to make it good, and I had nowhere to go with it.
I might edit that out. I don't know. That wasn't good.
Okay,
I got a question for you. If you could take any point guard from the last, we'll say 10 or 15, let's say 15 years, and insert them into this 2011 team, 2010, 2011 team, who would you pick? And you can take, I mean, you can pick years. Like, you don't have to take Byron as a whole. You can take Byron's senior year.
Right.
You can take Lucas's junior year, whatever you want.
Yeah, I think that I would take, I think I'd take Victor Williams.
See, I was thinking, I don't know. Go ahead.
I just think I'd take Victor Williams because I think he was a little bit stronger than Lucas. And I feel like we do lack a little bit of strength out there too. And so I just feel like that'd give him the slight edge for me over John Lucas. That's why I would take Victor Williams.
See, I would take, I wanted to say Vic, but I would probably take Lucas just because he was a better shooter and we have no
shooting.
True.
And that's true. Yeah. That's absolutely true.
I mean, it was like, I don't know if you read the paper today, but I mean, Ford was talking about how poorly they shoot in practice. Like,
yeah,
I mean,
He
wasn't even talking about in the Big 12.
Right. Well, speaking of Lucas, Jay Lucas, I mean, how much of a bust is he?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, if you remember, most Oklahoma State fans wanted him to end up playing in GIA, and now I'm sure they're glad that he's not because – he went to Florida and did nothing, and now he's at Texas. And I mean, I don't know how many minutes he ended up with last night, but you know, I think he played in the first half for maybe 3 or 4 minutes, and then in the second half, I don't think he came in.
No, he's only averaging like I want to say 14 minutes for them, maybe 15 minutes, something like that. He's like their eighth or ninth guy.
Yeah,
I don't know what his career is. I don't know. I don't know what he's doing. Kind of like I don't know what Penn is doing.
Yeah, here's his stat line last night. 3 minutes, nothing. Nothing. No shots, no rebounds, no assists, no steals, nothing. 3 minutes, that's it.
Wow. No fouls?
No fouls. I mean, you know, it's a good thing they keep minutes or he's not on the stat sheet, basically.
Speaking of Texas's depth, is there anybody on Oklahoma State's team that would be in the rotation at Texas?
That's a good question. Looking at Texas, you think they're deep, but last night all five starters played over 30 minutes. So I kind of sit there and I go, Coven Brown came off the bench and played 15, 16 minutes, but their bench, they didn't go to the bench a whole lot. Maybe – I don't know. Maybe the game dictated that, but I've got to feel like Marshall Moses could buy them some minutes off the bench. I mean, I don't think he would start for them, but I think he'd be a good 6 or 7 guy that could come in and spell guys and play 15, you know, 18 minutes and get some run. But I don't – outside of Moses, maybe Olakimi, but I don't know. I'd probably just say Moses. What do you think?
I think you get 15 to 20 for them just because he plays with so much energy. I mean, yeah. He might only last 15 to 20 with the way he fouls, but
right.
I mean, I think he could play 15 to 20 for them. I think JPO could come off the bench and play D for them. I don't think Keaton could be in the rotation. I don't think Penn would. I don't think Pilgrim would be enrolled in their school anymore. I think Markell would – I mean, I think he'd be on the team. I don't know if he'd be getting, you know.
Yeah, maybe not this year. Eventually, absolutely. I mean, I think Markell is going to be an all-Big 12 type of player by the time he's a junior or senior.
Yeah, he's phenomenal. I mean, even in the last – I don't know, really since the Big 12 started, I think he's averaging 28 minutes a game since the Big 12 started. And – I mean, you can just see game to game. I mean, he does some really dumb stuff, like the dribbling under
the
legs.
Stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, under the Texas basket. But right. You can just tell he is so smooth and he's going to be so good once he –
Well,
you know.
Those two left-handed shots he hit against Baylor when they were going in front of the Baylor bench, he hit two left-handed shots from about 6 or 8 feet. One was off the glass and the other one wasn't. And, I mean, those are – I mean, people have never played before. A left-handed shot like that that's not a layup, and you're not a big that's just making a post move, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, and there were weird angles, too. Like he was shooting left-handed, but, like, from the right side, and it was strange. He had a couple passes last night against Texas that were just – they weren't, like, top-10 passes, but – you know, they weren't passes that a freshman usually makes. I thought he looked really good at times, and you know, he's going to do the stuff that a freshman does. But he kind of reminds me of, I'm not going to say he's going to be the scorer James was, but just in the way he carries himself and the way he plays defense and the way he runs and, you know, just comes up the court. Like, he just kind of reminds me of James in how smooth he looks.
Right. Yeah, but I can see that.
I don't know. I think the next 4 years of him, and I guess we've only got three of JPO, but
mm-hmm.
I was thinking today about it. LeBron coming next year, and I just I mean, yeah, he's the number four recruit, but I just see that going really badly, and I don't know why I think that. I've just read stories about him and seen stuff that I just don't know if it's going to go well.
Really? I just hope he comes out the first game for warm-ups with the big orange cowboy hat on. As long as he does that, I'm probably going to be a fan of his.
Well, you know, the five-star thing, we've been there before, and it's just – it just doesn't work out for us. I don't know. I don't know if it's us or if it's the five stars or I don't know what it is, but
yeah. How many guys have we had that have been like top recruits that end up not even stepping foot on campus in the last 7 or 8 years?
Yeah. I mean, give me my 3-star Desmonds and Martells and my 4-star James. And you know, let's play some ball. What was Gottlieb coming out of high school, by the way? Was he like a,
gosh, I mean, he was probably a half a star, like
was he even right?
Sounds like a movie rating. It's like I'm rating G League. Ben Affleck and J-Lo, the half star.
I know you didn't get to hear the broadcast last night, but he told some unbelievable stories about.
Yeah, I've got it on the DVR. I'm gonna have to go back and watch it just for that. I might even just like work on something so I don't have to look at the screen. I can just listen.
Man, he was killing. Well, there was one point in the game where Balbe tried to get out of shooting a free throw. I don't know if you remember that.
Yeah.
And they went to the monitor. I mean, I would too if I were him. About how he used to do that all the time. Like,
that's great.
Like Joe Adkins and he played point. I forgot who else he said, but I know Joe. He would hide. Gottlieb would go hide somewhere, like behind somebody on the court, and Joe Adkins would just go shoot free throws for him.
That's great.
It was hilarious.
That's great.
I was like, that's good for a D1 college basketball player.
Yeah.
But I thought he was, you know, say what you want about him, and a lot of people have, but I thought he did. I just thought he handled everything really well last night and did a great job.
Yeah, I mean, I like Gottlieb. I think people are critical, overly critical of him. Some OSU faithful are overly critical of him. They think that he doesn't stay true enough to his alma mater. But the thing is, you don't want somebody to go up to, you know, Bristol and just be, you know, wearing orange all the time and being a true homer. I mean, you know, guys that go up there and are homers are annoying. And I think he does a good job. He's very knowledgeable and he loves OSU. I mean, if you follow his Twitter, he'll tweet about OSU, and he was at homecoming, and he was walking around in an orange polo, and I mean, he's legit.
Yeah, I agree. It was good to see him last night.
Yeah.
Okay. Last question: did you see Jimmer last night?
I was following the tweets. I mean, Seth Davis. So he's tweeting about Jimmer pretty much every shot. You know, he's giving me an update that he's now got 41 and. Let's talk about this for a second, because, you know, I see he goes for 43 and I see they win and I want to go to ESPN this morning and see some highlights, and I click and it's on the homepage and it's, you know, it's the article and the write up in the video about, you know, BYU San Diego State. And I click on the video and it's I think it was Scott Van Pelt, I think, but he's talking to Andy Katz, and Andy Katz is breaking it down. And I don't need Andy Katz to break it down for me. I want to see Jimmer stroking shots from long range and from short range. I don't need to see Andy Katz breaking it down for me, because, first of all, I don't know where Andy Katz came from. I don't know what his basketball pedigree is or why I should listen to him. But I want to see the guy make scoring in 43. I don't need to hear you talking about why he's great or why BYU could play themselves into a 2-seed. You know, I just – you're really tired of the overanalysis of ESPN. I just want to see highlights. So anyway, all that to be said, it's Jimmer mania.
It is.
You know? I mean, everybody loves him.
It's out of control. And I don't know.
He sounds like Tebow, by the way. Have you heard him talk?
No, I haven't. He's built like
I feel like he sounds like Tebow a little bit.
Well, I feel like he's built like Tebow. He looks like a freaking fullback or something. But I mean, this is the guy. Okay, I was talking to my dad this morning, and he lives on the East Coast, as you know, and he emails me and he goes, "Man, I'm tired." And I was like, "Okay." He goes, "I stayed up and watched that BYU San Diego State game." He goes, "Jimmer's unbelievable." And I was like, yeah.
He's got his attention.
Well, yeah. And I told him, I mean, he doesn't really understand Twitter, I don't think. But I said, Jimmer almost broke Twitter last night. I thought it was going down because, like you, I was following it on Twitter and people were just losing their minds. I mean, every other tweet was, you know, Jimmer just hit a 40-footer, you know, Jimmer just dunked from half court. I mean, I didn't know what was going to happen, but
What do you think the big appeal is? Because I was trying to think of this today. I mean, he's obviously a phenomenal player, and maybe it's because Twitter wasn't really around when KD was having the year he had at Texas, but like, it's been Jimmer mania, and now it's grown even more after last night. But what do you think it is?
I think three things. I think the first is his name. He's got a cool name.
Yeah.
And it's cool to tweet his name. I don't even know what that sentence means, but it just is.
Right.
Second, he's been there before. We've seen him in the tournament.
He went off.
Yeah, and he went off. We can put a face to the name, and you know he was fun in March. It would kind of be like if Hayward had come back, but just
and was going off.
Yeah, but just with a better name, just the Jimmer name.
Right.
And the third thing is, it's kind of twofold. He plays for the underdog, and he's white, so he's the underdog. Right. I mean, you know, all these people today, I saw where Royce from Daily Thunder was talking about how people are asking if Jimmer could play in the NBA, and he said, well, if he wasn't white, would people even be asking this question? I mean, I don't get it, and I think it's kind of dumb that people put that, you know, make the differentiation, but that's just how it is. And I think people are drawn to that. And, you know, it's just what it is. I've got a question for you though. Is he topping Steph Curry's, I guess it was his, well, see, that question's weird because Steph Curry's better team year was his junior year, but his probably better personal year was his senior year. I guess my question is he better than Steph Curry was?
Oh, that's a tough question. I think that, man, I think he's more visible because he's playing at BYU, right? And they're in a better conference, so they're playing in some more marquee games, and thus they're getting more publicity than Steph Curry got his senior year. Or I guess, was it his junior year? His last year was his junior year. His sophomore year was the year they went to the Elite Eight, right?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Because he came out. You're right. Yeah,
he didn't finish. But, so, God, is he better? Right now, I'm going to say yes. I think that Jimmer's better. Now, does that mean that I would want Jimmer on my NBA team before I would want Steph Curry? I don't think so. I think I'd rather have Steph Curry because I think Steph Curry is a better pure shooter, but I think Jimmer is a better scorer. And I think that Jimmer's not going to be a better scorer at the NBA level because Jimmer's ability to penetrate and hit shots inside 20 feet will be negated a lot at the NBA level. Whereas Steph Curry, that's what he's going to do is be a set shooter anyway.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't know if I really broke it down there very much for you.
Yeah. Andy Katz style, huh?
Apparently.
I don't think I can go there. I can't put him above. I mean, you know how I feel about Curry, but I mean, I go back to when Curry beat who they beat. They beat Georgetown, and then they beat Wisconsin and KU. And he was doing stuff that you're like, how, I mean, how's this kid doing this? He's like a slinky. I mean, he was skinny. He didn't weigh anything, and not only was he shooting. I mean, Jimmer's a great shooter. I think in a 3-point contest with my life on the line, I'm taking Curry, but I'd be scared to death the whole time, literally. But I think Curry does stuff that I think Curry was quicker, and
right.
I think he got to the lane better and was probably a better passer.
But I don't know
that either one of them could have been or can be shut down. I'm excited about March. I hope BYU gets a good seed and we get Jimmermania for a month.
Yeah, that was on the floor analysis right there. I mean, yeah. That was on the floor.
I'm
by you.
Who am I like? I'm like Digger or something. I don't know if I want to get.
Yeah,
Digger.
I mean, I'm gonna throw that out there. Maybe like a catchphrase we use, or I mean, you know, DP's got against the grain. Maybe we've got on the floor. I mean, when you know, it's like you remember Wojo at Duke, and he'd slap the floor when he was ready to play defense. I mean. You know, maybe we even slap the floor when we're ready to get on the floor and
Did you or did you not just slap your floor?
I actually just slapped my desk, but it sounded like the hardwood, right? I mean, it sounded like I was ready to get down in my stance and I'm ready to guard. Yeah,
it sounded like you had 6,000 getting ready to go crazy at Cameron Indoor, and you're just getting ready to D up Capel again.
I used to love Wojo. I mean, I remember watching some games out in Maui when they were in the Maui Invitational over Thanksgiving, and I wore my Duke shorts, and he dove under the scorer's table, and I mean, just loved him mostly because he was just legit. I mean, how can you not love a guy like that?
And because he was short and white and played good D.
Well, and see, I don't play D. That's the thing. It's kind of a misconception that I would like him so much because I'm a shooter. I just like to shoot.
All my
good friends know that about me. I don't play D. There's just I pick my spots, right? Like, I want to guard the worst guy on the other team so I can get a couple steals and run outs, but I don't like to play defense. I'm not going to make any qualms about it. I mean, when I coached, I wanted to coach kids up and get them to play D, but, man, I hated D.
So you're the guy that plays the passing lanes, and if somebody gets by you, then
– Absolutely.
I mean, whatever.
Just call me LeBron.
Just call me
LeBron. It's fine. Well, I mean, I'm going to give up points, but I'm going to get 4 or 5 steals a game, and – I'm going to pick on your weakest link, and, you know, that's just kind of – I feel like why try and do anything else, right?
I'm not a good defender.
I know that, so.
So you're the bully of the Pistols Firing Blog contributors.
Probably, yeah. I mean, you throw the worst player on the other team, and I'm calling him. I'm like, oh, I got this guy. I got Dean Shorts, you know. Let me guard him.
Yeah, and then you feel – but then afterwards you feel good about your performance too. You're that guy.
Absolutely, yeah. You leave the gym feeling much better about the way you play because you're like, man, I got a couple steals, and, you know. And at least maybe to your teammates it gives the illusion that you play defense, right? You know, because it's like they go home and they're like, man, a couple steals that Q had were pretty big. I don't know. I mean, just something to chew on there.
Wow. Where are we at now? I don't know how we got here. On the floor. Let's make it a segment. Every Thursday night we go on the floor. Yeah. On the floor with Pistols Guy and Q.
Yeah. I'm absolutely on board for that.
Yeah. I love it. It's awesome.
So.
Okay. Well,
what's
that? What was that?
It was one of those awkward moments where you're on the phone, you can't see the other one, and you know both of you are trying to talk, so you're not sure what to do.
Well, do you have a question
I'll
for
just
me?
I'll defer to you. My bad.
Did you have a question?
I didn't know if you wanted to – did you have a question? Did you want to break down the remaining schedule for the Pokes? Or?
No, I mean, I don't want to go over an hour on our first pistol cast here. Let's get through the Tech game on Saturday.
I guess it's kind of wishful thinking or boastfulness on our part to think that people might want to listen to us, you know, jack around for an hour.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to keep this under control here, but
we're trying to bring in listeners, not scare them away, right?
Let's get a win on Saturday against Tech.
Yeah,
and then let's run through it real quick. I'll fire them at you, and you just give me win or loss.
Yes or no.
Yeah, yes or no.
Just win or loss. Okay.
Okay. You ready?
Yep.
At Tech.
Win.
Yeah, it better be. Missouri at home.
Win.
See that, I think, okay, we'll talk about it after. OU at home.
Just keep going. Now, keep in mind that I'm the guy that said at the beginning of the year that we were going to win 10 games in football. So just keep that in mind. Okay, good.
Yeah, I've got that in mind. OU at home.
When?
At Nebraska.
When?
At Texas.
Loss.
Yeah. A&M at home.
Loss.
At KU.
Loss.
Tech at home.
Win.
Baylor at home.
Win.
At OU.
Win.
So you've got us winning 4, losing 3, and winning the last 3.
Right, and that gets us to 9-7.
Yeah, which I think there are only 2 teams.
That'd make us...
No, 3 teams in the last 5 years that have won at least 9 and not gotten in.
Well, and as strong as the league is this year, there's no way that a team wins 9 in the Big 12 and doesn't get in.
Yeah, I think it's the...
Especially with as bad as the ACC is down, the SEC is down, the Pac-10 is down. I mean, if a 9-win team in the Big 12 doesn't get in, we might as well just end the tournament now. I mean...
What? Just BCS it?
Let's just BCS it. Let's just take Ohio State and... I guess BYU for the Jimmer factor, and just send them down to Houston and let them play in the Alliance, see what happens.
If this is the BCS, then Jimmer's, I don't know, point guard would blow the last game of the season for a shot to play Ohio State for the title. And
well, that's true. Yeah, Jimmer's not making it there. Jimmer, BYU's ended up in the, you know, the Las Vegas Bowl or something.
They could have a rematch with San Diego State. See, I think, the Missouri game is huge. I mean, first of all, if we don't win at Tech on Saturday, then you can just mail it in because it's over with. But
yeah, right.
Missouri game next Wednesday is huge. And then at Nebraska, I think, is real big. You know what kills me is the Colorado game. I mean, that's...
Yeah, you're right there.
Yeah, and we have to win that game. And we're up 12 in the second half. And it's... I mean...
Yeah.
You got to win that game to make the tournament. I think you're right about at Texas, A&M at home, we're probably not winning. At KU, we're definitely not winning. Baylor at home will be interesting. I don't think they're that good.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
No.
I don't at all. And then obviously you have to sweep Tech and OU. I mean, it's not out of the realm. We got to start shooting better. But yeah. On the floor, break it down. Okay, Q. Appreciate you being on first Pistol Cast, and hope we get.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, hope we get to do it a lot more.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, man. We'll talk to you later.
All right.
All right. See you. And that's it for the first Pistol Cast. Check back next week for more, possibly including a surprise guest that you do not want to miss.